Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1979 with a release date of Friday, October 2nd, 2015 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Amateur Radio mourns the loss of Wes Shum, W9DYV, a pioneer in single sideband. ARRL veteran staffer Perry Williams, W1UED, becomes a silent key. An email scam targets amateurs, more delays as the FCC processes license exams, and Pennsylvania prepares for its CUSO party. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1979 coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
The man who could be called the father of single sideband on amateur radio is a silent key. Wes Shum, W9DYV, passed away last week at the age of 94. Wes Shum founded Central Electronics in 1949. The first product that Central Electronics manufactured was a hearing aid device. But radio was what Wes envisioned for CE. He had a budding interest in single sideband during World War II. He and colleague Joe Batchelor began development of amateur SSB transmitters for use on 75 meters. The Central Electronics 10A Exciter, the company's first amateur product, is credited for being amateur radio's first practical SSB transmitter. Wes's story is best told by those who knew him well. One of those is Nick Tusa, K5EF. Nick shared with Ham Nation viewers how he and Wes Shum met and struck up a decades-long friendship.
I got involved with Central Electronics when I was in high school. Our station, it was a Jesuit high school station, and one of the priests was a ham, and he had this 10A, and he had built a homebrew amplifier for it. But it didn't have coils for 15 meters, so I figured out that Zenith Radio actually had acquired Central. So I just sent him a letter just to see if I could get information about how to build the 15-meter coils. And lo and behold, I got a letter back from Carl Hassel, the co-founder of Zenith. He had sent the information about the coils, and he also gave me the phone number and address of this fellow by the name of Wes Shum, who was the president of the company, and had designed all of these sets. That kind of started a pen pal relationship with Wes, and I would send him letters, problems that we had with the transmitter. I blew up the 6AG7 final in it by plugging in a GE tube and didn't realize that the set was designed around RCA and Sylvania tubes. And apparently the GEs were very hot and they would go into a parasitic oscillation mode. So he got a big charge out of that when I finally did talk to him on the telephone. And of course he talked me through fixing it. So I'm just a kid and I'm 16 years old. And I started a relationship with him back then. And it continued on through college, and eventually I got an opportunity to go to Chicago in 1983, and that's when I first met him. You know, it's funny how, you know, you develop a relationship by telephone and letters, and you kind of get in your mind's eye a feeling of what the person is, and he was exactly like that when I met him.
Wes Shum, W9DYV. The next time you call CQ on single sideband, send up a little thank you in memory of this unsung amateur radio pioneer. Perry Williams, W1UED, a veteran ARRL staffer and the league's former Washington coordinator, became a silent key September 25th. Williams' tenure with the league included a stint in Washington, D.C., speaking on Capitol Hill on behalf of amateur radio, assisting the ARRL's general counsel, and communicating with the FCC on behalf of the league. The Unionville, Connecticut ham had worked for the ARRL for four decades before retiring in 1994, the same year he was named Dayton Hamvention's Amateur of the Year. In 2002, he returned as a part-time archivist, a position he held until 2011. Remarking on Williams' decades of contributions, ARRL CEO David Sumner, K1ZZ, "If Perry didn't know something about ARRL history, it wasn't worth knowing." Williams died just weeks before what would have been his 87th birthday. If you use an ARRL.net email alias and the ARRL email forwarding service, be on the lookout for a phishing scam. A number of ARRL members have reported to the league that they received an email from ARRL Webmail Admin with account upgrade in the subject line. The email requests such personal information as usernames and passwords and includes a bogus message telling the recipient that the accounts are being removed and upgraded to an enhanced service. The ARRL emphatically states that this is not an official message and is cautioning recipients of these emails. Andy Sheffrin, KB1YHB, the ARRL's IT Infrastructure and Operations Manager, says the ARRL is aware of this phishing scheme and is working to block the sender's email address at our upstream provider. As with any emails of unknown origin, do not open or reply. In short, ignore it. If you do develop problems with email forwarding, contact the ARRL IT department. And be careful out there. Hope for streamlined service under the FCC's Universal Licensing Systems electronic batch filing. Hams are growing impatient and disappointed. The FCC's IT staff has been looking into why, despite the website server switchover in early September, recent VEC license and examination files are not being processed. The ARRL's VEC manager, Maria Soma, AB1FM, said her office has been pressing the FCC to correct the situation, which she said came as, quote, a bit of a surprise. She said even the license search function was only working sporadically. Stay tuned and continue to stand by. Gaston Bertels, ON4WF, chairman of the amateur radio on the International Space Station Europe, has announced that Emmanuel D'Andrea, I0EL, will be his successor. Bertels is retiring following a service that began when the ARIS working group was formed 15 years ago. His contributions included the installation of ham radio equipment and antennas on the ISS Columbus module and the installation and commissioning of ham TV DATV on the ISS. ARIS members include AMSAT organizations in Belgium, France, Italy, Sweden, and the UK, and the IARU member societies in Italy, Germany, Poland, France, Portugal, Belgium, Switzerland, the Netherlands, and the UK. IARU member societies in Malta and Lebanon are associate members. Bertels told the ARRL it was time to step down. He said, I'm now 88 and slowing down a bit. Yes, opinions count. That's why the Radio Society of Great Britain has invited all licensed amateurs in the UK to go online and complete a questionnaire to help it update the Society's strategic goals. The survey will be accessible through December 31st, and the data will be published on the RSGB website with a summary in RADCOM during the first quarter of 2016. You can find the questionnaire at rsgb.org/ar-survey. The CQ Worldwide DX Contest Committee is also conducting a survey, mainly to get feedback from participants in the last 3 years' contest. The committee is making the 10-minute survey available in 5 languages and has sent links to it via email to any ham who submitted a log in last year's SSB and CW events. The deadline to complete the survey is October 10th. And finally, here's one questionnaire that's really paid off. K3DN, the Warminster Amateur Radio Club in Pennsylvania, surveyed its members to get to know them better and recently released the results of that 2015 first quarter survey. With 81 responses out of 120 requests sent out, here's what they learned. Most of the club members have been licensed for more than 20 years, and nearly 60% of them hold an extra class license. The majority of club members are older than 50, and 41% are retired. The survey also reported that these longtime Warminster hams are decidedly progressive and forward-thinking. The results showed that in addition to participating in the newer digital modes, members' highest levels of interest were both in homebrew and new radio equipment. This is Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world and brought to you by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur. Any ham who's ever been an Elmer to another ham knows that to be truly helpful, you sometimes have to be willing to go the distance. Amateur Radio Newsline's Stephen Kinford spoke with one ham who did just that, going many hundreds of miles, in fact, as part of a team of Elmers helping young hams in Ethiopia.
Ken Clairbout, Kilo 4 Zulu Whiskey, is an electrical engineer and a member of the Potomac Valley Radio Club near his home in Stafford, Virginia. But sometimes you can catch him operating out of the Echo Tango 3 Alpha Alpha Club Station in Ethiopia, where he's been a part of a team that includes Bob Schenck, November 2 Oscar Oscar of the Old Barney Amateur Radio Club in New Jersey. The veteran radio amateurs have been lending moral and technical support to the 20 or so students at Addis Ababa University's Institute of Technology. Clairbout had already been traveling to Ethiopia on business more than 2 years ago when he first heard that the student hams needed a helping hand.
Being a very active ham operator, contesting, DXing, and all that stuff, I had heard about the club station. And one of the guys that's a member of our local club, Dave K3 Lima Papa, was also involved in supporting it. And I think in December of 2011, he and a group of people went over to Ethiopia and bought a bunch of equipment, and they took the U.S. license exams, and they've been supporting it. So through Dave, I got in touch with Ben Sid, ET3SID. He was... he's retired, living there, and he was kind of the mentor, the whole driving force behind the club station and amateur radio in Ethiopia. And so that's kind of how first couple trips I didn't meet up with them, but eventually I thought I got to do this. And I did, and it just kind of picked up from there.
Basic mentoring, in this case, meant helping the students prepare to test for licenses and to fix or replace equipment, even getting donations.
Yeah, what happened is there are a fair amount of visitors that go through there, and club and the students I run have been very generous and gracious and allowing people to operate. We had a visitor early this year. I don't know what happened, but the radio blew up. We were told the amplifier didn't work, and I had caught wind of this in early April when I was going over there. So I said, all right, well, fine, I'll be stopping there. I'll take a look. And as it turns out, the transceiver was dead. So I brought it back with me and shipped it off to Yaesu and said, hey, guys, take a look at it. And the cost of the repairs was exceeded the value of the radio. So, all right, well, we're not going to do that. And that's Bob kind of stepped in at that point, M200, and the contact at the Giga Parts and with the help of them and Dennis K7 Bravo Victor at Yaesu, we were able to get a replacement radio of the exact same type.
The student licenses remain, for now anyway, an unresolved matter. In Ethiopia, where ham radio licenses are rare, the government will only license the club, not to the students themselves. Many instead have U.S. licenses. There are, unfortunately, some things that even the best of Elmers can't fix, but Clairbout and his team are working on it. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stefan Kinfort, NAWB in Wadsworth, Ohio.
Thank you, Stefan. The European Space Agency needs your ears, and they'll make it worth your while. The ESA is inviting hams to listen for the AAUSAT-5 CubeSat that was built by Danish students at the University of Aalborg. The International Space Station is expected to release the CubeSat sometime during the week of October 5th. The CubeSat's been poised for its launch since it was sent up to the space station on October 19th. Once it's deployed, it'll begin its transmissions, and the race is on for hams to record them and send them in. The first ham to record the CubeSat signal and send it via email to the ESA's education office can count on receiving a prize. They include a poster of the AAUSAT-5 with the team members' signatures, a scale 1-to-1 3D printed model of the satellite, and what the ESA education office is describing as a goodie bag. The satellite will transmit on 437.425 MHz using CW and GMSK. There'll be a 30-word-per-minute beacon every 3 minutes and a 9600 BPS GMSK every 30 seconds. The ESA will receive entries at cubesats@esa.int. Speaking of contests, here's an opportunity that's golden in more ways than one. The California QSO Party is marking its 50th running with a new take on the Gold Rush on October 3rd and 4th. The California County by County Challenge is offering a commemorative coin to qualifying hams who work any combination of special event station suffixes to spell the words Gold Rush. Those stations would include such call signs as N6G, N60, K6L, and N6D, for example. To qualify, operators must also log at least 150 QSOs. For California hams, at least 75 of those QSOs should be outside California. For a more thorough explanation of the rules, visit the contest website. You'll find that at cqp.org. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the linked repeater system of the Barstow Amateur Radio Club, WA6TST in Barstow, California, on most Tuesday evenings at 7. The Pennsylvania CUSO Party, called the Friendly Party by its organizers, arrives on the amateur bands next weekend. Amateur Radio Newsline's Mark Abramovich, NT3V, has the preview.
The Nittany Amateur Radio Club in State College, Pennsylvania, is sponsor of this event, which traces its roots back to 1957. Michael Coslow, N3LI, is chairman of this year's Pennsylvania Party.
The goal is to operate as many counties as possible and as many sections as possible and as many individual contacts as possible if you're from Pennsylvania. If you are outside of Pennsylvania, you want to get as many contacts as possible and as many counties as possible. The big goal in the party is to get all 67 counties.
And there is also a bonus station running multi-multi, that's multiple operators, multiple stations, in Wyoming County in northeastern Pennsylvania. Coslow says it's worth a bunch of points each time you work it.
Our bonus station this year is KQX Group, They're using call sign W3C. We had the KQX group do it a few years ago. They did a good job, and so we're happy to have them doing it again.
Castle says one of the issues coming up on the online forums and the PAQSO party reflector is the appropriateness of spotting stations.
We not only allow spotting, we encourage it. But people getting out there and getting QSOs, and that ends up being kind of important for the mobiles. And they get more contacts, people get more counties, and overall it's a lot more fun.
Kozel says last year he saw an increase in the number of logs, and with good propagation, he is expecting increases this year too. To find out more about the party, go to our website, www.arnewsline.org, and click on the script link and scroll down for the PAQSAR party web address. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mark Abramovich, NT3V, in Philadelphia.
Thank you, Mark. The pig has landed. That's the report from Andrew Garrett, M0NRD, who, as Amateur Radio Newsline reported last week, launched Pinky Pig, a payload tracker, on a high-altitude balloon at the National Hamfest in the UK. He reports that the porker's flight and the flight of its backup tracker, Piglet, were both successful, even after being scrapped for 24 hours due to a wind delay. He writes on the website, amateurradio.com, quote, "Both payload trackers worked flawlessly. Pinky, the high-speed RIDI, successfully sent SSDV as well as telemetry, and the backup tracker Piglet sent the slow-speed RIDI telemetry. Not only did the trackers from all over the UK as well as France, Holland, and Poland successfully connect, but Pinky and Piglet caused quite a sensation at the Hamfest. Garrett and his family were triumphant later as they recovered both payloads safely back on Earth, still attached to the parachute. Garrett reports, quote, "The payloads had no damage other than the antenna being bent in the landing. And there was no damage to anyone's reputation either. Strong signals and a good return to Earth made it clear that these pigs would not be subjected to gentle teasing and would even be spared some ribs." Mark Metzler, AF6IM, may have felt a kinship with Pinky and Piglet on September 20th. Metzler was in freefall, 13,500 feet above Byron, California, after launching himself from a King Air 90 jump ship. He then activated two important pieces of equipment. He deployed a 200-square-foot rectangular Ram Air canopy and turned on his chest-mounted Yaesu FT-817, more than likely in that order of priority. With the help of a trailing wire end-fed dipole antenna, Metzler began calling on 28.425 upper sideband. He made a total of 12 contacts while en route back to Earth, but not before switching to 2 meters on FM and grabbing a few more QSOs en route to the drop zone. His jump was, however, just preparation. On October 17th, he'll participate in Parachute Mobile Mission 22 that will take place in conjunction with the ARRL Pacificon event in San Ramon, California. Operators using RTTY and BPSK63 can expect to be kept busy October 3rd and 4th as the Russian Digital Radio Club Worldwide Digital Contest gets underway. QSOs on QRP should not exceed 5 watts. According to the club's website, one of the contest's main goals is to increase the popularity of digital modes for amateur operators in Russia and to help Russian amateurs compete in these modes at the global level. Contest participants will be working on 160 meters, 80 meters, 40 meters, 20 meters, 15 meters, and 10 meters. NDX be listening for Andre, RK7A, who will be active from Morocco beginning October 20th through the 27th, operating as CN2BGB. He'll be on single sideband between 160 meters and 10 meters, send QSL cards via UA6GG. PY70FEB will operate in Brazil through October with a twofold purpose, celebrating 70 years since the end of World War II and in tribute to the Brazilian Expeditionary Force in Italy. Modes will be CW, digital, and single sideband. Please send QSLs to PS7AB with $2 or by the Bureau, EQSL, and Logbook of the World. There's also a couple of good DX opportunities during the upcoming CQ Worldwide DX contest on single sideband October 24th and 25th. The call sign 9K2HN will be active in Kuwait during the contest with a number of operators working the bands. You can send QSL cards via 9K2HN by the Bureau, Direct, or Logbook of the World. During the same contest, listen for members of the Andorran Amateur Radio Union who will be active once again as C37NL. They're working as a multi-multi entry. QSLs can be sent via C37URA or via the Bureau. And finally this week, as radio amateurs, many of us understand all too well the challenges of putting up and maintaining a tower. But some listeners to a professional broadcast radio station in Oklahoma got a rude reception September 23rd when the tower of radio station KGUY 91.3 FM took a tumble. Not on its own, thankfully, but at the hands of a tower crew from American Tower Corporation, which took the broadcaster's tower down without first notifying the station it had arrived to do the work. Dale Bolton, the public radio station's director of programming and operations, said a crew had been hired because the 418-foot tower had been standing at an odd angle and was in need of repairs for safety reasons. But Bolton adds, the timing came as a total surprise. He said, quote, "It would have been nice if we were able to give our listeners some notice." Instead, the tower came down, crashing into the satellite dish and brushing the station building before landing in an open field, right in the middle of a classical music program. It knocked the station off the air, obviously, sending anxious listeners to the phones. Perhaps, though, the listeners should not have been so shocked. According to an online account from Wireless Estimator, music fans might have been tipped off by the playlist, saying the tower's dismantling was, quote, "perhaps timed perfectly by the tower techs for it to pancake upon the earth at the end of Siegfried's funeral march, blasting from their crew cab." With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, AMSAT News Service, CQ Magazine, the FCC, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the Irish Radio Transmitter Society, the Ohio Penn DX Newsletter, ParachuteMobile.org, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Twit TV, the Russian Digital Radio Club, Wireless Estimator, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website. You'll find that at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, in Picayune, Mississippi, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2015. All rights are reserved.